Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing our study through Psalm 119. This morning we're looking at stanza that consists of verses 97 to 104. So please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. When I started dating Melody back in 2009, I started spending as much time with her as possible. I started doing these random acts of kindness and service for her. I was staying up way past my bedtime doing study dates at IHOP to help her with her Greek and her Hebrew as she was working on her Master of Divinity with a women's concentration degree. I was spending money that I didn't necessarily have. I was trying out all kinds of new restaurants and going places that I did not typically go. The list just goes on, and you say, Pastor, why were you doing all of these things? It's because I was in love with the girl. When a man loves a woman, he expresses that devotion to her in various ways, and it begins to change him. In Psalm 119, the psalmist expresses his love not for a person, but for the Word of God. In this text, which in verse 97, which frames the rest of this stanza of the psalm, the psalmist just exclaims, "Oh, how I love your law." The psalmist, deep within him, there was this genuine affection for and commitment to the Word of God. And because he loved God's holy scriptures, it led him to engage with God's Word, and it changed his life, church. Because he loved the Word of God, he expressed that devotion in various ways that ended up changing his life. And that's the all-important lesson we learn from this text this morning, is that a genuine love for the Word of God expresses itself in devotion to the Word of God that transforms our lives. When a person genuinely loves God's Word, they will express that devotion to God's Word, and it will radically change their lives. In the verses that follow, we're going to see that there were three ways that the psalmist expressed devotion to God's Word, and there were three ways that it totally revolutionized his life. So let's look at the text together, read it, and then we're going to see how, when we love the Word of God, it should be expressed in devotion and transformation in our lives. Starting in verse 97, the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I've not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Let's pray. Father, again, we have this beautiful Sunday to gather together and to hear from you. God, take this text. God, please help me to clearly, God, explain its meaning. And God, let us understand what it means for our lives in application. God, we love you, and we're praying for every one of us in here that we will be able to say with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love your law." And we pray it in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. So when we love the Word of God, it'll express itself in devotion to the Word of God that transforms our lives. So how does that actually work itself out in a person's life? What does it look like to express devotion to God's Word? First, we see in verses 97 to 100 that when we love the Word of God, we'll express it, our devotion to it, by meditating on it, and we will become wiser. When a person loves the Word, they'll express that devotion by meditating on the Word of God and becoming wiser. The psalmist says in verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." This word meditation, it refers to somebody who is contemplatively thinking about the Scriptures. Such a person is a person who would read the Word of God. So they're exposing themselves to truth, they're reading it, then they're seeking to understand it, what is the meaning of the text, and then last of all, they're trying to discern, how do I apply it to my life? So they're reading, they're understanding, and then they're applying that Scripture to their lives in a practical way. The phrase that the psalmist uses in regards to meditation, saying it takes place all the day, he's telling us that when it came to his engagement with the Holy Scriptures, this was not something that was just haphazard in his life. It wasn't something that periodically characterized who he was. He's telling us continually, every day of his life, he was a man who was meditating, deeply thinking about the Word he read, trying to discern its meaning, and then live it out in some practical way in his life. Now, most of us in here who work, we work a 5 to 6 day work week, and we look forward to 1 to 2 days off through the week. And when we've put in our time at work, we're looking forward to that mini vacation, time off, time away, time down, so that we can do anything but have to think about work. We're just not wanting to have to engage in work the way on those days off that we have when we've been in that work mindset. When it came to the Scriptures for the psalmist, he never had this "I need time away" mentality. He never thought, "I need a vacation from the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures." He didn't need downtime. He didn't need to take time off from being with God through the reading and the meditating, the understanding and applying of the Word of God to his life. Yet, many Christians are doing just that in our culture today. They're taking a lot of time off from the Word of God based upon what recent research polls tell us. Back in 2019, Lifeway Research conducted a study, and Aaron Earls wrote an article revealing some of what this study showed based upon the statistics that they analyzed. He begins his article sharing this, that Christians say the Bible is God's Word, but even among Protestant churchgoers, only a third spend time reading it every day. So they talk to several thousand Christians who go to church regularly, and only a third said that they engage their Bible every day. Now, Lifeway went on to identify, I believe it's 8 signposts or disciplines that are in a Christian's life who's flourishing in their walk with Christ. They're taking positive steps forward. They're becoming more and more like Jesus. And one of the critical key disciplines for that to take place in a person's life is engagement with the Word of God on a daily basis. And yet this study tells us that 70% of regular churchgoers admit that they do not engage God's Word on a daily basis. Now, let me just share this with you. I've been there before. This is not pastor bringing a club, going to beat church members up on the head today for not reading their Bible every day. I was saved around 12 years of age. By the time I was in high school, my latter years, God had really impressed on me the need to be in the Word and to feed myself through His Word. So I started reading Scripture daily, and I have been doing that ever since. So I've been there. I know what it's like to be saved and not engage in God's Word on a daily basis. What I'm wanting you to see from this text this morning is the call of God, that God does expect us as followers, as believers, to be like the psalmist, to have such a love for His Word that we want to say all the day long, this is true of me, that I'm meditating on Scripture. I've been engaging the Word of God. And it's also a sermon to say, church, we could all do better. We can all get to where we need to be in this discipline in our lives. God's given us His Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, not a force. He's not just some power, but he's God himself, lives within every blood-bought saint of God. He gives us the conviction, gives us the power to actually live this kind of life. And that's where God wants to get all of his sons and daughters, where we could say, I love the word so much that I express my devotion to it by meditating on it all the day, engaging in the word of God each and every day of my life. And when we do so, look at how it will radically transform our lives. Look at what the psalmist says, being in the word all the day, continually being in God's word does for him on a daily basis. He says it makes him become wiser. When we are in the scriptures, reading, seeking to understand and applying scripture to our lives, that kind of thoughtful, contemplative meditation, the Bible says God gives us this ability to divinely discern the decisions and the actions we need to take to honor him in life and to be in his will, to live a life that pleases him. He says specifically, verse 98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. So when we meditate on God's word, number one, we'll become wiser than our enemies. See, when you're in the word of God on a regular basis, you're going to discern what's right and what's wrong. And you're going to be able to avoid those foolish, evil pitfalls that those who disregard God's word fall into, and they dishonor God and they bring shame upon others and they bring the judgment of God upon their lives. When you will thoughtfully be in God's word daily, you're going to become wiser than your enemies. Number two, the psalmist says in verse 99, we'll become wiser than our teachers. He says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Because he contemplates the word of God, what God testifies to in the word, he says, I've become wiser than my teachers. Now, most likely what the psalmist is talking about here is that he had instructors in his life who did not base their teaching upon the word of God. He had instructors who were human instructors, and their curriculum was based upon a human source, wherever they drew their knowledge from. But the psalmist is here highlighting that God is the master teacher, that the Bible is the divine curriculum for life, and the person who invests themselves into the word of God, they have God as their very teacher in life. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter who your teacher is in life. If God's your teacher, you're going to be wiser than a mere man or woman who's teaching you just from a purely human source of instruction. The psalmist says this wisdom that we gain from being devoted to God's word through meditating on it daily, it'll make us wiser than our enemies, wiser than our teachers. And then third of all, he says it'll make us wiser than our elders. Look in verse 100. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precept. The word aged here, it refers to those who are advanced in years. The older I get, I don't know who's really aged anymore because that number continues to fluctuate for me. But the psalmist is saying, when you look at those people who are way on up there in years, if you're a student of the word of God and God is your master teacher, it doesn't matter how much experience a person has in life if that's been their teacher only. You know, we can learn a lot from experiences through the ups and downs of life, but it does not compare to the person who has been learning from the word of God and gaining wisdom and knowledge and understanding from God's truth. You are a wiser person from being in the scriptures than just merely a person who's lived a lot of years. So here's the point, church. When a person truly loves the word of God, we'll express that devotion by meditating on it and becoming wiser. We will read God's word, seek to understand God's word, and then apply God's word to our lives in practical ways to live out what God's calling us to live out. The Bible is not optional. It's essential. Oh, how I want every member of Lakeland Baptist Church to get to this place where Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 4 that just as man does not live by bread alone, where we have to have food daily to sustain us, that every one of our hearts will cry out and say, God, I need your word to sustain me spiritually in my inner person. Because the Bible says we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how essential God's word is to our lives. So let me encourage you, do what you've got to do to nail this down in your life. Could it be And I would say, yes, it is. That the reason we're not growing, the reason we're not living missionally, the reason we're not more holy than what we should be is because we're anemic when it comes to God's word. We're not in the scriptures like the psalmist. We're not expressing a love and devotion to it because we're not meditating on it all the day. What steps do you need to take to get into the word daily? What excuses do you need to bring before the altar and lay at Jesus' feet this morning and saying, God, my work day's just too busy, but I'll get up earlier so I can spend time with you. God, this is in my way, but God, I'm gonna do this to remove it so I can start prioritizing you morning, noon, or night, whenever that is, so you can have a good 10 to 15 minutes just letting God speak to you, because that's what happens when you open the Word of God. God speaks to you. We have Bible reading plans at the Welcome Center, our Read 22 plan. You can pick one of those up. You can use that as a guide. You can set up a time to talk to me or Pastor Matt or Jim, and we can help you get into the Word daily. But this is something God wants us all to be convictional about as believers, that we love His Word so much that we meditate on it every day. And as such, we become wiser. So that's one way we express devotion to the Word of God, by meditating on it and becoming wiser. We see a second way we express devotion in verses 100 to 101 to 102. When we love God's Word, we will express devotion to it by obeying it and avoiding every evil way. We'll express devotion by obeying the Word and avoiding every evil way. That's the essence of these two verses. Look in verse 101. And 102, I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. When the psalmist says, I've restrained my feet and I've not turned aside from your ordinances, this is what he's saying. As a follower of yours, Lord, I've not neglected your word. I've not turned a deaf ear to your word. I've not listened to the wrong counsel, but I've allowed your word to be that which guides me in the way in which I should go. I want to avoid the paths of unrighteousness and stay on the path of righteousness. Growing up in Northeast Arkansas, my father, my brother, and I, we were avid duck hunters. We were typically up around 4, 4:30 in the morning, still pitch black outside. And we would make our way to the landing, St. Francis River, truck pulling the boat. We would get it down into the water, still pitch black. We had about a 15-minute boat ride out to the duck blind. I remember these times so fondly, and it would be so dark. Sometimes the moon would be exposed, and you could see a little bit through the light of the moon. But we typically had a million candle-watt spotlight plugged into a battery, and we would use that to help us see a little bit in front of us as we navigated through the woods, and we kept ourselves from going down the wrong path and getting lost so that we could get to our destination. Church, let me just make this connection. Our hearts in this world are dark, deceptive, and dangerous. There are so many meandering paths that are saying, choose me, walk this way, come here, go there. And the Word of God is like that spotlight that we used when we were going duck hunting early in the mornings. It helped to illuminate that this is the wrong path. That's the wrong thing to do. You don't want to live like this, and you want to stay far away from that. And the Word of God just opens it up and shines light and says, walk this way. Run this way. This is the direction you want to go to honor God and to stay holy and to live a life that will be righteous before the Lord. You see, when we love the Word of God, it expresses itself in obedience to that Word. As the psalmist did, he wanted to obey it and to avoid every false, evil way. Love for God's Word will obey it and avoid every evil way. So how does this play itself out in our Christian lives? You're meditating on the Word like the psalmist did. You're in your quiet time and you come across something in the Word. And because your heart is sensitive to the Word of God and you love the Word of God, you don't have to have an argument with God about what the text says, because you're saying, God, you're right, and whatever I'm thinking, I'm wrong. And I desire in my heart to do what you want me to do. So when we're confronted with truth about speech or thought lives or desires or actions or relationships or worship, missional living, whatever it is, we come across that word in the scriptures, This is the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God. We declare, God, you're right. And I've been wrong in this area. So God, I want to repent. I do this in my quiet times. I'm like, God, this is not always true of me. So I acknowledge where I failed in this area right now to you. I'm returning from this sin. And then God, what can I do to start living this out faithfully? What does it require in time adjustments in the day? What does it require in habits? What does it require in new discipline so that I can live obediently and avoid this evil way? That's what the person who loves the Word of God does. That's what the person whose life has been changed by Christ wants to do. But let me say this. If you're here this morning and you don't have that kind of a view towards the Word of God, you don't love it, you don't desire to read it, when you're confronted with the Word of God, you want to argue with it rather than submitting to it, and the pattern of your life is just a pattern of disobedience, as a faithful brother to you, I just have to tell you, your problem's not ultimately that you don't love the Word of God. Your problem is ultimately that you don't love Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Christ that's changed your heart. You see, there's no person who's a believer that loves the Word apart from Christ who's come into their life and changed their heart. They have a love for Christ, and they now have a love for the Word. And I'll prove that to you scripturally. John 14, 15. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. Listen to John 14, 24. Jesus says, he who does not love me doesn't keep my words. That's Jesus himself speaking. If we don't keep his words, Jesus says, you do not love me. John 15, 10, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. 1 John 5, 3, the Apostle John says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The reason we don't obey God and we disregard the word, if that's our practice, it's revealing a deeper spiritual problem. We need a new heart. We need a new life. We need a relationship with God. The only reason this morning that I will go to my grave defending this book, believing it, living it out, and sharing it with others, let me tell you, the only reason I'm going to do that is because God changed my heart back when I was a 12-year-old little boy. I understood I was a sinner, separated from God, under the judgment of God. I deserved hell for all the sins that I had committed, even up to the age of 12. But then I understood that God loved me in his grace and his mercy, and he sent his son Jesus into this world to live a sinless, perfect life for me, to go to the cross and to pay my sin debt, to die, to be put into the grave and resurrected on the third day, and that his resurrection meant victory over sin and victory over death, my greatest enemies. And in the best way, as a little boy, I bowed my knees at the altar with Brother Jim kneeling next to me at Providence Baptist Church in Northeast Arkansas, and I told God I was a sinner, and that best way I knew how, I didn't understand everything, but I wanted Jesus in my life, and I wanted forgiveness of my sins. I didn't want to live that way anymore. I wanted to live for him. And God did just what he says he would do. When we call upon the name of the Lord, he saves us. The Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within me, and he began to change my life. It was a gradual change, but it was a certain change. And I stand before you today as a preacher of this book, and I will go to my grave being a preacher of this book, because God has changed my life through Christ. And that's what we all need, church. Every one of us, we need this kind of a changed heart to love the Word. And then we can only have that kind of changed heart when we bow the knee to Jesus and we place our faith in him to be a follower of his. And if you've not made that decision, you're going to have an opportunity to do it this morning. When we love the Word, we'll express devotion to it by meditating on it and becoming wiser, by obeying it and avoiding all evil ways. And then last of all, in verses 103 to 104, we will express love for God's Word by enjoying it and hating every false way. By enjoying it and hating every false way. The psalmist, because he loved God's word, he could say something so joyful and so pleasant. In verses 103 to 104, how sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I'm a man with many faults. If you don't believe so, just ask my wife. She could write a book. And one of my greatest faults is I just don't do dishes. I rarely do dishes. Let me tell you, I have a hatred towards doing dishes. It grinds on me to think of doing anything more than just putting my plate in the sink. I loathe that process of having to wash a plate off and then to bend over and then actually put it in a dishwasher. That just makes no sense to me, that you should wash something before it gets washed. And so I really struggle with it. I loathe washing dishes. My wife, I remember one time, she had just had a talk with me about doing the dishes, and she said, "Will you please help with the dishes?" And then my response was, "Honey, don't I do so much more? Don't I help out with this? Don't I clean the toilets, and I'll do the floors? I even do the ironing for you." But I was like, "The dishes? I mean, really?" And then her response is, "Yes, you do, but if you just do the dishes, you'd be the perfect husband." Guys, let me just share with you, I'm still not the perfect husband. We had a talk about this just the other day, and I'm still struggling with doing the dishes. It's a burdensome task, just let me leave it at that. When it came to engaging the Word of God, the psalmist said, "This isn't a burden for me. My heart doesn't loathe spending time in the Word. My heart doesn't cringe at the thought of having to think through the meaning of what God has said in His Word and then faithfully trying to live it out in my life." In fact, it was something he delighted in and he took joy in. And that's the picture we have when he's comparing the Word of God to savoring over honey. He says, "How sweet are your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Honey back in this day was a delicacy. It was a rarity. It was a sweetener that people desired. And so if you had it, I mean, you were blessed and privileged. Just like my kids salivate over the opportunity to eat a sweet donut in our context, you can picture the psalmist. That's how he savored over the Word of God. And this is what we see and how it changed. And because God's Word was so sweet and he expressed love for God's Word through just enjoying it, he didn't just have an outward life that was conforming to God's Word. He had an inward life that was just being revolutionized. Not only did he live for God in an outward way, but inwardly, God changed his desires so that he hated every false way. He wasn't just avoiding the things God calls sin. Inwardly, he was repulsed by them. He did not want anything to do with them. It was more sin than he wanted because he loved the Word of God so, so much. Scripture. When there's a true love for God's Word, it involves meditating on the Bible, not as a mere rule-keeping book. That's not the heart of a believer in love with the Word of God. It's not just a rule-keeping book, but it's a life-giving book. Because God's changed our hearts, and we want to live to please the Lord, because we love Him, and we love His Word. 1 John 5:3 teaches us this. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And His commandments, listen to this word, are not burdensome. That word in the Greek, it means they're not a source of difficulty or trouble because of the demands they make. A Christian, when they come across the Word of God, is like, "God, you're right, as I said earlier, and I want my heart's desires and I want my ways to conform to what you've told me is true and what is best for my life." For the believer who loves her Bible, it's a joy, it's a delight, it's a sweet thing to spend time reading Scripture and contemplating it throughout the day. When I'm at work and my wife sends me a text or gives me a call, it brings joy to my heart to hear from my wife. For a believer who loves the Lord, it's like a man who loves his wife and enjoys hearing from her. When we open our Bible, it just brings us joy to hear from God. Remember, in prayer, we talk to God, but in Bible reading, God talks to us because it's His Word. So let me encourage you to do this in your quiet time this week. As you set out, every one of us, to make a commitment to God, "This week, God, I'm going to do what I can to spend time in your Word every day." As you do, I want you to pray a prayer like this: "God, not only do I want you to open my eyes to understand your word in my reading it and to apply it to my life, but I want you to help me to enjoy it. Help me to hear the message that you speaking to me through your biblical text. If someone were to interview us, church, and they wanted to get to know us better, and then they were going to show it on the screens to help everybody just have a better insight into your life, and they were to ask you, hey, share with us some things that you just love in life so that people will know a little bit more about you, what kind of things do you imagine we would hear? I love my church, love God, I love my family, love my 1956 Mustang, love my bass boat, I love fishing, love getting together, playing pickup games at the park with my friends, love my job, love my house. Do you think we would hear anybody say, man, I love the word of God. I love my Bible. That's what the psalmist proudly and passionately declared. I love the word of God. That's where God wants us all to be as his followers. That we love the word of God, and when we love the word of God, we will express it in devotion, and that devotion will lead to transformation in our lives. This morning during the response time, this is time for us to say, God, show me how I'm engaging your word and what it looks like for me to get to where the psalmist was, loving your word by engaging it every day so that I can be a flourishing believer in my walk with Christ. And if you've not trusted in Christ this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. We're going to have ministers down front who are here and ready to talk with you about what it means to turn from your sin and to place your faith in Jesus so that you'll be forgiven, you can enter into a right relationship with him, and you can have the gift of abundant and eternal life. Will you make that decision today? If you're watching online, you can text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen. If you want to make Lakeland Baptist Church your church home, or you need to follow the Lord in baptism, we're here to help you with those decisions as well. Would you please stand as we pray? Father, this morning, we need you. Not a few days of the week, not sometimes, but even if that's not registered with some people in this room, we need you every day. Jesus taught us that we need to live by the word of God every day. We need it to sustain us. The psalmist loved your word so much that he meditated on it every day, all the day. God, we want to be those kinds of believers. So will you please work on our hearts? Will you please hit us in our soft spots? Will you break through the callousness that may be there for some of us? Lord, if there's sin to turn from, may we confess it this day. Lord, if there are decisions we can make to become more faithful to you, we want to make them. We love you, Lord. This is your time to work in our hearts. Draw people to Christ. Draw people, Lord, to decisions that will help them to reach, God, their God-given potential in Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.